We'd like to not only welcome everyone who is here today, but of course welcome everyone who is joining us through the magic of the media. And we hope that God is refreshing you in your spirit this week as we have been meeting for our revival meetings. And if you have even a small portion of the refreshment that we have had this week, you will be doing well. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yes.
Yes. Praise God. We have seen God do wonderful things at the meetings. We've seen God do wonderful things at the concerts. We have seen God do wonderful things on the streets of Charlottetown. We have seen God baptize six precious people this week in the raging and pounding surf of the North Shore of Prince Edward Island. Nancy, you want to just come up here for 1 second? Now, as Nancy comes forward, I'm going to have to move this podium so you can see her as she'll... Here we go. And we thought we were going to lose Nancy to one particularly large wave, but of course we weren't concerned because we knew where she was going to go if she was not out to sea. So we just thank God for Nancy and five others who just wanted to make that public declaration that they belong to the Lord. And that is an ordinance that the Lord Jesus himself established for us that we should not neglect. So if anyone is a believer who has decided to follow the Lord, let us also not neglect the letter of the law, which is to repent and be baptized. And Nancy, on behalf of us all here, I just want to say we are proud of you and we're so glad to have you in our fellowship. And the rest as well, Josh and Chris and Brendan and
Rachel.
Rachel and John, yeah, praise God. So, thanks, Nancy. And also, we were at a camp meeting last night in New Brunswick, which we saw God greatly bless, thank you, Jesus. So we've had really an extraordinary week, and I pray God's Spirit is upon you and is blessing you and causing you to be fruitful. Because remember what we always say, remember what you've heard at all of our concerts, fruit does not come from step dancing or fiddle music. What does fruit come from?
Being with the Lord.
Abiding in the vine. Fruit is from abiding in the vine, which means it's a level playing field. Whether you sing or dance or do anything, it makes no difference whatsoever because fruit comes from abiding in the vine. And so that means for you who are listening from far away, you can be as fruitful as anyone in the world by spending that time with the Lord and the commitment that you have most likely made. Otherwise, you wouldn't be watching this right now. Spending that time with God each day, that's what causes you to bear fruit. So, and by God's promise that your fruit will remain. So this is our great, great hope. You don't have to look at what we're doing, going out on concerts and doing things like that and say, oh man, I wish I could do something for God. No way. You don't have to think like that at all. Every person is able to be a vessel of God. As we read about in that book, Radical, by David Platt, this young African man had determined that he was going to change the world. He was penniless, he was homeless, and David asked him how he was going to change the world. And he said, well, I'm just going to make disciples of all nations. So that is something that we have the ability to do. As we abide in Christ, we have the ability to share what Christ is doing and to influence others simply by the grace and the power of God abiding with us. So let me greatly encourage you who do not dance or sing, Chris. Sorry, that was just a slip. We all can abide in the vine, and so we can all bear fruit to whatever degree that we want to. Praise God. So we're going to turn over to John chapter 6 today. We're going to cover some really, really, really important things. This Bible is very difficult to navigate through. There's a lot of papers in it.
Helen's available.
What's that?
Helen's available.
Oh, Helen's, right. Thank you. Let's seek the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. We pray that your word would speak to our hearts. We pray, in fact, that you would speak to us. And we praise you that you can speak through anything and anyone, anything and anyone, as you have proved in your word, Lord, that you can even speak through dumb animals. And this gives us great confidence that as we ask you to address us today and speak to us, that you are able to use anyone who is willing. And so we just pray that you would speak to us, speak to each of our hearts, O Lord, and cause life to spring up in our souls. Praise God. Praise God. Let's turn over to John chapter 6, where we have the most profound statement. You know, Jesus is not verbose by any means. He says a word, he says a sentence, and he changes the world. He turns the world upside down with 12 very, very short sentences in the Beatitudes. And now he does the same thing here in John 6. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread of heaven. I'm so glad that our dear friends, the Charters, are here today, because we're going to address some areas today which will be near and dear to their heart that has to do with the bread of life. Jesus said he is the bread of life, and those who come to him will never hunger or thirst again. In other words, in Jesus, we will actually be satisfied. Okay? We will actually be satisfied, which is a very rare thing to find, because as we know, as you look for earthly entertainment and things like that, as soon as you're finished with some earthly entertainment, the first thing you have is a craving for more of the same thing, whatever it is. And so we as a family, we started out, we were the strictest family that I know of. We didn't watch TV or movies for many years. And then finally, as a fun family night, we would rent a video and watch it one day a week. And soon, it was like as soon as that was over, we wanted to watch another one. So then we started getting two and watching two in a night. And then it was like, wow, you're still not satisfied. And so then it started to grow and it started to be very consuming. And even though we were still at our worst, we were so conservative, yet it was able to consume us with this never-ending desire for more and never satisfying. Contrast that to Jesus, who says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger or thirst. He satisfies our soul. And so our job as Christians is to learn to develop an appetite for the bread of life. That is our job. It's as simple as that, is to learn to have an appetite for the bread which satisfies. And we see this speaks clearly over in Isaiah 55, where it says, why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Learn to eat what is good. See, I told you this would be close to your heart. We're gonna have a lot of chorus of amens from the vegans in the middle row here. And so ours is to learn to eat what is satisfying. Okay? So we come to Christ and we are filled with a passion for all spiritual junk food. Every single thing in this world, everything that grabs our attention, everything that tries to fill the void, every distraction, every stimulating thing, every picture, every soundbite, every video, every home movie, all these different things that we use to try to satisfy, we spend all of our time and all of our money on what does not satisfy. And so as we come to Christ, we make our first baby steps toward the Lord, and we see that He is the way and the truth and the life, and we begin to seek after Him. Now, ours is to learn how to turn, to not waste our money and our time on what is not bread and for what does not satisfy, but instead to listen carefully to Him and to eat what is good. To eat what is good. And I was thinking last night, we were down in New Brunswick and we performed at a camp. We got home very late and everyone was hungry. So we stopped at a fast food place on the way. And as everyone was chowing down, and I was just, I was all the lights were on, and so I could see in the rearview mirror everybody just eating. And all the different things that we were eating, me included. And I'm thinking, man, this is garbage. This is real garbage. And we like it. I mean, we all like it. But I'm telling you, it struck me so hard that we had just finished this great work with God. And now we were satisfying ourselves with actual garbage. And after I... like got rid of half of what I was eating because it was just not satisfying. What did I do? Well, I turned to our dear Lisa, who had made a bunch of homemade burritos. I said, Lisa, do you have a burrito left? And yeah. And now I ate this burrito. It was cold, right out of the refrigerator. It was, the cheese wasn't melted. I mean, it was just a cold bean paste with cold cheese. But had jalapenos in it. And that was way more satisfying than the junk food that we had just got. I mean, it was like, man, this is like real food. And another interesting picture is that Lisa says, yeah, I've got 24 of them left. And so we had neglected food that actually satisfies to be stimulated for what is actually garbage. And so it was kind of interesting, and that's what was making me think this morning about this scripture about the bread of life, because it's exactly how we are in the spiritual realm, exactly how we are. And so we're always turning, excuse me, to all the stimulants. You notice the world is always stimulating us with sounds and with pictures. And so the internet is an absolute marvelous invention of hell to keep us absolutely continually distracted with spiritual junk food. There is nothing, hardly anything that comes through the internet that is not just spiritual garbage, spiritual junk. You go to any homepage, AOL, any homepage, and the things that are on there seem like it's interesting, it's news or it's this or that, but you find as you plow into it, it's just junk food. It's just spiritual waste. It's garbage. And so yet we are still distracted by these things from morning till night, every single day, and we are continually are eating garbage. And the Lord says, listen to me and eat what is good. He says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. So our job now is to begin to be satisfied, to begin to become satisfied with Christ. To become satisfied with Him. And so now, just like as our dear friends the Chartists would tell us, to make this kind of a change, it requires an amazing discipline. It requires going out of your way and making steps to change your diet. And that's what we need to do. We need to change our spiritual diet. We have to begin to seek the thing which is actually nourishing to our soul. And so this is where I want to reinforce and encourage those who have taken the challenge and the commitment to start seeking the Lord for an hour each day. I want you not only to continue with that and to be encouraged to do that, but I want you to begin to increase that. And that not necessarily meaning to start spending 2 hours in prayer, though that is a great thing to do. But what I mean is learning how to be satisfied in Christ during the day, all day. That is our job. Like Brother Lawrence said many, many years ago, practicing the presence of God, that we would learn how to be feasting on the Lord all the time. And so what do we do? How do we do that? Well, Jesus promises to give us peace and joy, right? He said, peace that passes understanding. And he said that we would have joy like he had joy. So God promises peace and joy to us. That is essentially the feast. He promises love. He promises his love to us and peace and joy. Well, that by itself is a feast that satisfies. Now, the peace of God and the joy of God and the love of God cannot be found in sound bites or in rowdy gatherings or in loudness or usually even in big groups. The peace of God and the joy of God and the love of God is found most often in quietness. It's found in quietness. So that we need to separate ourselves away with God. We have to go away from the world, outside the city, to spend some time with God in quietness. And our world doesn't like quiet. And it's getting louder all the time. And to dwell with God really doesn't necessarily mean going away into the quiet, where you can have peace for your soul and you can remember God and you can focus on him. It also requires spending some time. You see, just as we don't find gold nuggets laying around in the dirt, we don't find precious gems lying on the street. They have to be worked hard. They're precious because they're so rare. And so it is with the jewels of contentment in Christ. It has to be sought after. We have to seek it out. We have to seek it in quietness, and we have to spend some time with God. So that if you are agitated, if you are nervous, if you are full of fear, if you're wondering about the future, if you are unsatisfied because you just did something worldly and it's left you, you're just wanting, craving more of the world. This is what I want you to do. I want you to actually physically go to some place that is quiet and set aside some time with Christ and set aside at least a half an hour to spend a time praying, reading his word, and thinking about God. And if you will do that little discipline, that is like eating food. And it will begin to satisfy your soul. And the peace of God will come to you. And the joy of God will come to you. And then the love of God will surround you. And suddenly, you will say, I've just entered into the secret place of the Most High. I know what the scriptures are talking about now. I know what David was referring to when he said to enter into the secret place, into the high tower, the strong tower of God. He was talking about entering into the presence of God, which requires steps. Now, once you eat that good bread and it satisfies your soul, now we start just going all the time to get that bread. We begin to develop an appetite for the bread of heaven. We begin, you know, we're not naturally drawn to the things that Chris and Victoria eat in their healthy diet. Our flesh is not naturally drawn to it. We have to learn to develop an appetite for what is good. And so this is what we do in the spiritual. We begin to develop an appetite for the presence of God. And now we have Lisa. Could you just come forward here 1 second? This dear lady, she's like my right and my left hand gal here. And she came up from Massachusetts last year. And she was a wreck.
Thanks.
She was just a wreck because she was looking for satisfaction in the world and was absolutely desolate. And she could see no beauty anywhere. Just like so many people can't not see beauty. And then she began to eat heavenly bread and she began to taste the beauty of God. And now she goes out and she walks. And when she walks, she sees the flowers. And she sees the beauty of God. She sees the creation of God. She sees the dew on the grass. The things she couldn't see before, she now delights in. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. It's learning how to love God. And then he begins to satisfy us. And he begins to open our eyes to the sweet things that are around us. And we are satisfied. Now, this process of learning how to eat what is good can be very painful because we are always craving junk food. It can be very painful. And so, what does God do in order to encourage us to eat what is good? What does he do to help us develop an appetite for what satisfies? Well, as a rule, he begins to remove the things which are junk food. That's his normal way of doing it. And this can be a tedious and a difficult and painful process. And so all these different things that we will turn to for our satisfaction in the world, he'll begin, if you love God, this won't happen if you don't love God. You can just go on forever doing anything you want to do and you won't be challenged. But if you love God, and you have an area in your life that is spiritual junk food, God's going to put his finger on it and he's going to remove it. And it can be, this can be real painful. All of your entertainment, it can definitely be your boat. If it's a boat, just get rid of it now. Don't even waste any time. Don't even try to sell it. Just get rid of it. Anything, whatever you're looking to in the world, God's going to put his finger on it. He's going to say, no, don't eat what is not bread. Don't look to be satisfied with something that cannot satisfy. Don't waste your money and don't waste your wages on things which can't satisfy. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. Spend your time with me instead. And so we become an anomaly. We become an anomaly to the world. We become absolutely incomprehensible to the world because as God comes in and he strips all of these things, he puts his finger on all these things and he takes them out of our life. And to the world, we look like we're completely desolate. Like, how can you even be existing? How can you live without this, and all these different things? How can you live? And what they don't know is that we have a continual feast, that we are feasting all the time, because as God takes these things out and we're feeling this amazing void, now we turn to God and we find that we are satisfied in him. And so to the world, we look like we look like nothing, like we can't even exist. But in our souls, we are feasting. We are vibrant, we are green, we are fresh, we are full of life. We have a joy and a peace that the world cannot even comprehend. They've never even seen it. And so it's a wonderful work that God does in us. And it is not only the junk food in our life, but it is also the desires of our heart that God puts his finger on. Even things which are good, but as we are looking to them, he will also say, no, that is not the bread that satisfies. I am the bread that satisfies. And so he does an amazing work to get us to the point where we're always eating the bread of life. And so I know there's a number of people in this room whose heart's desire is to have their soulmate, their spouse. And that is a good thing, ordained of God, and a very good thing. Yet, so many times, almost always, God will withhold that desire of your heart. Because though it is a good thing, yet it is not Christ himself. It's not Jesus himself. It is not actually the bread of heaven. It is something that is good, that could be satisfying, but it's not him himself. And so for us to be fit, to be able to have our heart's desire granted to us by God, we have to be able to surrender to God that heart's desire. Because if we don't, we are in a very difficult place. Because now we have our heart's desire is not exactly God. And why do we complain? Why do we despair? Why do we moan? Why are we disappointed? Why do we get depressed? Because the thing that we're desiring is not him himself. If it was, we wouldn't be depressed, because we have him. He's been given to us without measure. And so when we complain, when we are distressed and we moan, it's because God has withheld a heart's desire that we say, think is good and is good. But we are distressed because he has withheld it. Positive proof that it's not him himself that we are seeking. So God even requires us to surrender the things which are good so that he can give us a better good. So let's go back to the case of those who are desiring a spouse. If God did not do this surgery and did not surgically remove this person or this idea from our heart, now we are looking to them to a degree or to a big degree apart from Christ. This is the source of all contention in marriage. This is the source of every fight, every contention in marriage comes from the fact that we are looking to each other for our joy and satisfaction instead of to God. And so we see God could give us the thing, but it will make us miserable. But if we submit to God's surgery and we say, okay, Lord, make me yours, holy, completely yours. Now, in his time, he can grant to us that desire of our heart. But now, because he has become the bread of life to us, now, when our spouse disappoints us, lets us down, criticizes us, has a bad opinion of us, or does something that's completely irritating, we can endure. We can endure. We can endure. Because that person, even though it's our spouse, is not the bread of life. The bread of life is the Lord. And so now we are able to endure. So the people that are able to have happy marriages are those who have made Christ to be their all in all, and then in Christ they love their spouse. Now, if there's criticism, disappointment, if there's annoying habits or whatever, it's just like, man, I love you with the love of Jesus. And I love, oh man, I love the concept of a wife serving her husband as though serving Christ. Like, without any thought of even appreciation. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes. It's learning how to serve and love without any appreciation. So our satisfaction comes from the fact that we did what God wanted us to do. We serve Him. We serve Him by serving our family. Same thing with husbands. And so we see here how important it is for us to learn to be satisfied with the things that are Christ Himself. Okay, so let me just read this again. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what do not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. So God's motive in this is not to strip us of every good thing so that we're just emaciated and full of holes. That's not His motive. His motive is that we would be filled with abundance, so that we would have a continual feast in Christ. Then, in His time, He will add to that feast by all earthly blessings as well. And that's pretty cool. So God's motives are great. So I want not only everyone here, but everyone who is watching, to be greatly encouraged to allow God to do His work. Let Him put His finger on those areas. Let Him take away your earthly things. Nancy, God bless you for letting go of some of your earthly entertainment. I'm so proud of you. And everyone who lets go of their earthly things and entertainment, especially, is what has gripped the young people. And they're like in hell through entertainment. It's true. And as we let go of these things, as we let God take them, God begins to satisfy us all with all abundance. So be encouraged. Let God do His work. And even the things which are good that you should have, still let Him take that until He says, okay, you have made me your bread. Now I can bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we so thank You that You never intended to leave us desolate. You never intended to just take all good things from us and leave us with nothing. You intended to satisfy our souls with Yourself beyond anything that the world could ever offer or imagine. And so, Lord, we want to surrender to You the areas in our lives that we are still holding on to. We want to surrender the spiritual junk food that we look to instead of to You. We want to even surrender the things which are good that we're looking to as our heart's desire, that You might be our all in all. I pray, oh God, that in this we will become the bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle, that our robes will be washed and our lamps will be lit, and we will look forward to and hasten the day of Your coming. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Praise You, Lord. We worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. We worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is all we want to do. Begin. Our righteousness. We is not.